What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casuals and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
This is your moment, your time to shine, your comeback. You're ready for the next step in your career, and you want an education employers respect. So you're not just going back to school. You're coming back with Purdue Global. Backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected public universities, Purdue Global is built for people who bring their life experience into the online classroom. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Welcome to the iHeartRadio and Coast to Coast AM Paranormal Podcast Network. This is the place to be if you're ready for the best podcasts of the paranormal. Curious and sometimes unexplained. Now listen to this.
Welcome to our podcast. Please be aware the thoughts and opinions expressed by the host are their thoughts and opinions only and do not reflect those of iHeartMedia, iHeartRadio, Coast to Coast AM, employees of Premier Networks, or their sponsors and associates. We would like to encourage you to do your own research and discover the subject matter for yourself. Hi, I'm Sandra Champlain. For over 25 years, I've been on a journey to prove the existence of life after death. On each episode, we'll discuss the reasons we now know that our loved ones have survived physical death, and so will we. Welcome to Shades of the Afterlife. Years ago, I was a full-time skeptic, and even worse than that, I was rather mean when people believed in the afterlife. I thought, and I really did think, that there wasn't information out there for reasons to believe. However, it was just me who didn't do the research. There are plenty of people, even very affluent people, with tons of years of great credentials to show there is an afterlife. Today, I want to feature one individual who is Dr. Karen Wyatt. She hosts the End of Life University podcast, has been a hospice doctor over 25 years, and she's one powerful woman. She's the author of several books, including The Journey from Ego to Soul, How to Transform Your Life When Everything Falls Apart, and Seven Lessons for Living from the Dying. You can find out more about her at KarenWyattMD.com, also about the End of Life University at EOLUniversity.com. She also has an amazing YouTube channel with tons of videos. Just search End of Life University. Welcome, Dr. Karen.
Thank you, Sandra. It's such a pleasure to be here talking with you.
Oh, it's a pleasure talking to you too. You have really done some extraordinary things. Can you tell us about yourself and some of your history?
Oh, well, thank you. Well, I could tell you my entire life story because as I see, looking back at it, I see how all the pieces fit together of various times in my life. But I'll start when I was a young doctor trained in family medicine to just do a general practice and take care of patients of all ages, very excited and happy and just really getting started as a young doctor. And there was a sudden tragedy in my life when my father died by suicide. And as you can imagine, it was absolutely devastating to me to have him die in that way, to have him really make that choice of how and when to end his own life. But particularly because I felt extremely guilty as a doctor. I'd had training in behavioral medicine, and I had helped a lot of patients who were suicidal and depressed, and thought that I couldn't help my own father, who was one of the people I loved the most in the world. It just absolutely tore me apart. And I really started to question, like, am I doing the right thing? Should I even be a doctor? I must be terrible at it. I couldn't help my dad. So I suffered with a lot of guilt and grief and just confusion about why am I here and what am I doing and why did all of this happen? And it took me about 3 years of being really lost in all those negative emotions before I had this inspiration in my head to call hospice. And at that time, I wasn't even sure what hospice did or what it was about, but I called to see if they could use a volunteer who happened to be a doctor. And as it turned out, the director that I spoke to that day said, I don't know why you called us, but 30 minutes ago, our medical director resigned, and we are not able to keep our doors open if we don't have a doctor working with us. And then you show up. And so It's like in that moment, I became a volunteer for that hospice, and it was like such a divine spark in a way. And it turned out to be exactly what I needed to help me through my grief and through that process by just kind of diving into death and dying grief of the families and the patients that I was caring for. And I healed my grief. I learned so much about the spiritual journey of life and the end of life and facing death and becoming a full-time hospice doctor. And I fell in love with the work, and it helped me become the person I was meant to be. And so I'm no longer practicing medicine. I retired so that I could start writing books and speaking and doing a podcast, because I felt this need to help educate people beyond one-on-one work with patients individually. So that's how I got here to where I am today.
Oh, amazing. Amazing. If I had a hat, I'd be taking it off to you right now for really your commitment to people. Could you share with us some of those stories about experiences people had before passing?
Oh, yes. I saw many patients, like how I would describe it or how it appeared to me was that the physical body was beginning to dissolve away, in a sense, as if it was becoming less and less solid and material in a way. And the soul was becoming predominant for those patients who were very close to death. And when they reached that point, so many of the patients would talk about seeing their loved ones who were in the room, who came and were waiting for them. And they were very, very comforted. Some of them talked with their loved ones and would describe conversations they had had. Others just talked about seeing a beautiful light, seeing and feeling love. And for those patients who had those experiences, their fear seemed to completely disappear. And they had this beautiful aura of light about them and seemed to be completely at peace as they were completing this physical journey here on Earth. And it was so reassuring to sit with them and listen to them talk and tell their stories. And it validated what I had understood, that there's something more here than this physical existence. And so all of that came together for me as well by having this opportunity to sit with them.
There's so many people, and I used to be one of them, that used to think, oh, the seeing the light is just a natural part of their brain shutting down. You know, you hear those people that say that, I'm sure, with the near-death experiences and things. Mm-hmm. This is just coming from, if I was skeptical listening to this, how would you know it was their loved ones, or what comforts you knowing that the afterlife is real?
I guess I can't say for any individual person that I would know that it was their loved ones, but there were some really interesting occurrences. In one case, our patient was a man with Alzheimer's who, in the very end stages of Alzheimer's, had not spoken for a year. He had not been capable of speech for 1 year. So he had not spoken to anyone or spoken to his wife at all. And we were caring for him in the very last days of his life. When I came to visit one day, his wife was so excited. And she said, "Something happened last night. I have to tell you about it." And she said, "John was asleep in his room and I was in the next room. And in the middle of the night, I heard a voice talking." And she said, "I got up and went into John's room thinking, did someone come in the middle of the night?" And she said, "It was John and he was speaking." She said, "And it was his voice. It was him. He was totally articulate and totally lucid and speaking. And he was talking to his brother who had died several years before." And he said they were having a conversation back and forth. In that case, it's a case where we had observed medically deterioration and decline in this patient's brain functioning. And yet he was still able to speak when he was in this state as he was very close to death. And so she knew from his conversation, it was his brother he was talking to, calling him by name. They were talking about past experiences they had had. He was laughing and reminiscing. And so hearing that story and hearing her say, "I know that his brother was here. I know his brother's waiting for him." That is congruent with what I believe and what I've experienced in my life. And so I could say it's based not just on a belief, but on some of my own experiences having dreams and visions of people that I love and care about after they died.
Oh, that's really nice. I think it's good to be a skeptic because it gets us on this journey of looking for evidence. No one can convince me otherwise. And I'd never push this on people. It really is the journey. And there's so much to uncover. One of my favorite stories, I think it was in a Martha Atkins TED talk, but she says there was a young boy who was in hospice and he kept looking at the corner talking to what his family thought were three imaginary friends. And it was just before he passed. And the names that he gave were the names of the last three boys that were in that room. And
wow.
Yeah, those kind of things, you know, come on.
Yeah.
They're there. We're all greeted and carried over.
Yeah, it's interesting. I had always been I was very spiritual even as a child. And I remembered, you know, having discussions with my mom it was in elementary school and I was trying to describe to her that God is so much bigger than the God that she was trying to talk to me about that sounded like just a human being, mm-hmm. a powerful human, that there was something else like God. No, God is bigger than that. Like God, you have to think bigger. And I never understood, like, how did I know that? Where did that come from? But then I remembered when I was five, I had some sort of health incident happened and apparently my heart stopped and my dad did CPR and the paramedics were called. And so I was talking to actually to someone from IANS who said, "You probably had a near-death experience when you were five." I don't remember that at all. So I would never claim that without having a memory of it. But then all of a sudden it started to make the pieces fall in place. Like, why did I seem to have this knowledge that was beyond my years as a child? And then why is it that I feel like I've just always known that there's something else there. I've always known it my whole life. I've never had to go through a process of trying to believe in it or questioning it, that it was part of me, part of the knowledge that I came here with, or maybe I encountered it when I was five. I don't know.
You know how great the world would be if kids got that message at the age of five and how we would all grow up and what a different world it would be.
Yeah, it's really true. I can say that it made a huge difference for me all through my life, see things from a different perspective, being able to understand like, oh, well, this isn't all there is. So this isn't really so bad what we're going through right now.
Oh, I agree. Karen, it's time for us to take our first break. And when we come back, let's find out a little bit about 7 Lessons for the Living from the Dying and Your End of Life University. You're listening to Shades of the Afterlife on the iHeartRadio and Coast to Coast AM Paranormal Podcast Network.
Stay right there. There's more Sandra coming right up.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Take a minute to check your social battery. How's it doing? Does the thought of social events make you feel excited or exhausted? It's easy for people to ignore their social batteries and spread themselves thin, especially at this time of year, when gatherings are picking up again after the winter. But it's important to find the right amount of socializing for you and still give yourself the time to recharge. Therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery. And when you're feeling worn out from socializing, therapy can help give you the tools you need to take care of yourself and recharge. Because a full battery is the key to a full life. And BetterHelp offers affordable online therapy on a schedule that works for you. Connect with a licensed therapist by text, phone, or video call. Start the process in minutes and switch therapists anytime. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/shades today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/shades.
Are you on the hunt for a new home this spring, but don't know where to start? Fisher Homes is your solution. Your new home should reflect you from the front door to the kitchen and even your outdoor space. Start your journey by selecting your ideal home site, like in a cul-de-sac or that's tree-lined, and then choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans. Bring it all together at our Lifestyle Design Center. Let Fisher Homes be your new home solution this spring and start making memories at fisherhomes.com.
Hey folks, it's easier than ever to become a Coast to Coast AM insider and have access to past shows, the Art Bell Vault with classic audio and interviews, and so much more. And you can listen to the show live or on demand with your computer or cell phone, and the audio streams are high quality and crystal clear. It's easy to become an insider. Just head on over to coasttocoastam.com, the website, and you'll find all the info right there. That's coasttocoastam.com, coasttocoastam.com.
Are you on the hunt for a new home this spring, but don't know where to start? Fisher Homes is your solution. Your new home should reflect you from the front door to the kitchen and even your outdoor space. Start your journey by selecting your ideal home site, like in a cul-de-sac or that's tree-lined, and then choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans. Bring it all together at our Lifestyle Design Center. Let Fisher Homes be your new home solution this spring and start making memories at fisherhomes.com.
Now, here's more Sandra on the iHeartRadio and Coast to Coast AM Paranormal Podcast Network.
Welcome back to Shades of the Afterlife. I'm Sandra Champlain, and we're here with hospice doctor Karen Wyatt, author of the book, Seven Lessons for the Living from the Dying. Karen, you've experienced some major things early in your life up till now. Would you agree that all of those earlier things were necessary for you to be who you are today and doing what you're doing?
Yes, it's so fascinating. And never when I was going through that terrible, terrible pain of my dad's death, At that point, I would not have thought that there would be a day like this when I could look back. Because in the midst of it, it's so hard. It's so hard to see things fitting together. I just remember, you know, day after day, kind of floundering in all of it. And yet I see the value in a way of going through that time of suffering, going through the pain of it in order to come out on the other side and to have learned so much in the process.
Yes. I always think of that pine cone, can't remember what kind it is, that needs to be subjected to a fire, severe heat before it can start to grow. And I always think of us and the deep grief and some of the worst challenges of life. And I just imagine from that, there is this little blossom or this little thing starting to grow, our spirituality that gets us in search of the bigger questions. And I don't know if we will always have it if we don't have something that'll cause our earth to shake, so to speak, or that little growth to start.
It's so true. And over the years, like, I love that story too. I talk about that all the time, that the seed coverings of the pine cone don't mm-hmm. open unless they're exposed to high heat. So the new seedlings can't grow without the fire. Over the years, as I've done my podcast and interviewed hundreds of people about their journeys and what led them to do the work they're doing, I hear amazing stories, but they're always along the same lines. Everyone has gone through some kind of suffering and pain in order to get where they are today. And so I do believe it now. It gives me so much hope. And every time I find myself in a place of my own suffering or returning to grief again, now I have that overriding knowledge that I can't see where I'm headed now, but I know that there will be something on the other side of this.
Definitely. Karen, how long have you practiced medicine?
I practiced as a doctor for 25 years, and I did hospice off and on all throughout mm-hmm. that time. Once I got started, I loved it so much. And the only thing that shifted is that we moved to a new community that didn't have a hospice where I could work full time anymore. So I went back to my family practice and then did hospice on the side as a volunteer. But I stayed involved in hospice all throughout those years because I loved the work so much. It was so meaningful.
I know many people that have volunteered with hospice and they don't have that fear of dying. I know it may not be an easy thing to do because, you know, you fall in love with people and they don't last, I guess to say, physically anyways. But what a beautiful thing to be there for the people and their families. And hospice is nothing to be afraid of. I think when you hear the word hospice, you think, okay, that's the end. Can you just speak a little bit about what hospice is? Because I don't know, honestly, if everybody knows how cool it is for a resource for people.
Yeah, and I'm sure you're correct. A lot of people don't know, and they may have only heard of it vaguely, but hospice is, it's kind of a system for caring for people at the end of life, and it's a benefit that's available to people through Medicare or insurance that's for the last 6 months of their life in general. Patients need to be approaching the end of life, and the care is provided by a team of providers. So there is a doctor, but there's a nurse, a social worker, and a chaplain, and a volunteer. So every patient gets assigned this entire team of people who will make visits. Most hospice care is provided in the patient's home. And so provided that they have a caregiver who can be with them at home and help provide the care, there are inpatient units where hospice can be provided 24/7 if the patient needs that professional care around the clock. And then patients can receive care wherever they happen to live. So if they're in an assisted living facility or a long-term care facility, they can get visits from the hospice team there also. So this team of people has been specially trained to work with people who are dying. And so what's different about it is that there's no longer a focus on curing a disease or a focus on how can we treat what's happening to you to make it better. The focus becomes on how can we help you live as fully as possible with the time that you have left. And that's the really interesting part. The whole staff is committed to helping people be comfortable physically, but also emotionally and spiritually, and helping families come together, helping them all along this journey to have the best experience they possibly can, and making sure that no one feels alone as they're going through it. So the family can be trained in, you know, how to care for their loved one at home, how to be with their loved one. The hospice staff, the social worker and chaplain are really good at helping families come together who may have conflicts between them. You know, they can help them work through that so that they can all be together with love and compassion as their loved one is facing the last days. It's really amazing and remarkable care. And in my opinion, it's some of the best medical care that our system offers to people because of that team approach. And really, all types of medical care should actually be given in the same way, I think, with the same a team of people who just care about you as a whole person.
My dad spent a little time in hospice trying to regulate some of his medications and really to make people comfortable that are experiencing pain, correct?
Yes, that's the majority of our training as hospice providers is in how to help with physical comfort. And so we learn a lot about various medications that are available, but how to use medications in sometimes in a different way. We combine them in certain ways to help with physical comfort and to alleviate other symptoms. And so the average doctor doesn't really get the same knowledge through their training or even in the work they do with patients. When they treat pain, they write a prescription and hand it to the patient. But we're there with them every day, and we have lots of creative ideas for things we can add or change in order to help with pain. So that's probably one of the most important parts of our training is how to make sure patients are not in pain. Now, I will say probably not every hospice is as good as other hospices because, you know, it all depends on how much training the staff has had, but that's the goal always is to provide that comfort and to get the medications titrated properly so that the patient doesn't have to go through pain.
Oh, great. I know mankind's biggest fear is dying. I do. And I think once we handle that we don't die, and it's really great that there are places like hospice. And I had no idea that most hospice is provided in the home. Oh, wow. You know, I had no idea. So thank you for sharing that about hospice.
You're welcome.
I wouldn't mind we talk about what you're up to now, because I didn't know about End of Life University and your podcast. And
while I was doing the hospice work, it was an amazing privilege to sit with patients at the bedside and just listen to their stories and listening to them tell me what they were learning as they were looking back on life from the very end of life here on planet Earth. And it became clear to me that each one of them was having some sort of a spiritual experience and a spiritual learning that was happening at the end of life. And I got to be the student just sitting and listening and taking all of that in. Of what is it like to be at this time in your life when you know you only have a few weeks left to be here? Over time, I began to gather their stories because they were so powerful, and I would journal every day and write down some of the stories patients had told me. And one day, a patient said to me, "You know, I have just learned the most profound lessons of my entire life." And he said, "What makes me sad is that I'll only be here a short while longer, and I won't be able to share this knowledge and this wisdom with other people." And he said to me, "Would you tell my story? Would you teach other people what I have learned?" And I made a promise to him that day that I would. And so I knew in that moment, someday I will write about this. Someday I'll write a book or something. I'll write these stories, and I'll be the voice for my patients who didn't have the opportunity to teach other people what they were learning. I knew all along at some point I would write a book, and I tried it at various times while I was still working and wrote a few pages here, a chapter there. All of it I thought was terrible. You know, I was really frustrated with it, not getting it done. And finally, 10 years ago, I left medical practice in order to write that book. I felt like this book is really important. I have to get it written. So I left medical practice so I could full-time work on writing. So the original version of the book came out 10 years ago after I finished writing the first version of it. And then it kind of sat there, and I sold some, but didn't seem to get out in the world the way I wanted it to. So at that point, I decided maybe I needed to start doing something more than just writing. And then I started doing interviews with people that became my podcast, End of Life University. So I thought, I want to find a way to teach people about death and dying and hospice and all these issues. So I started the podcast. And lo and behold, a year and a half ago, a publisher, Watkins Publishing from the UK, came to me and said, "We would like to re-release your book. Would you like to revise it and update it?" And so I created a new version of the book, and Then it got republished with a publisher that could actually help me get it into the world. And so that's the latest version.
That's really great. I'd like to talk to you about some of these lessons when we come back from the break, of course. You're listening to Shades of the Afterlife on the iHeartRadio and Coast to Coast AM Paranormal Podcast Network.
Don't go anywhere. There's more Shades of the Afterlife coming right up.
Are you on the hunt for a new home this spring, but don't know where to start? Fisher Homes is your solution. Your new home should reflect you from the front door to the kitchen and even your outdoor space. Start your journey by selecting your ideal home site, like in a cul-de-sac or that's tree-lined, and then choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans. Bring it all together at our Lifestyle Design Center. Let Fisher Homes be your new home solution this spring and start making memories at fisherhomes.com.
We went from normal life, healthy child to acute lymphoblastic leukemia or B-cell ALL. The St. Jude team came up to get CJ via ambulance. Shortly after that, I noticed a rainbow. It meant that there was hope. We were driving into hope. To have hope is to have your child healthy, and we have that because of St. Jude.
You can help kids fight childhood cancer. Please become a St. Jude Partner in Hope today by visiting musicgives.org.
We're happy to let you know that our Coast to Coast AM official YouTube channel has now reached 300,000 subscribers. You can listen to the first hour of recent and past shows all for free. So head on over to coasttocoastam.com and hit the YouTube icon at the top of the page. This is free show audio, so don't wait. coasttocoastam.com is where you want to be.
Are you on the hunt for a new home this spring, but don't know where to start? Fisher Homes is your solution. Your new home should reflect you from the front door to the kitchen and even your outdoor space. Start your journey by selecting your ideal home site, like in a cul-de-sac or that's tree-lined, and then choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans. Bring it all together at our Lifestyle Design Center. Let Fisher Homes be your new home solution this spring and start making memories at fisherhomes.com.
And now back to Sandra Champlain and Shades of the Afterlife.
Welcome back to Shades of the Afterlife. I'm Sandra Champlain. We're here with Dr. Karen Wyatt. Karen, you had mentioned these great stories that you didn't want to die when the people did, especially one gentleman that wanted his story told. Can we honor him and them today by sharing the stories?
Yes. Well, he was a very interesting patient because he had spent his life, he was in finance and he was very, very successful financially. He had a huge home, several cars, lots and lots of material possessions. And when I came to visit him the first time, he walked me around his house. He showed me everything that he owned, but he was very sad. And we sat down to talk about it. And he said, I've spent my entire life focusing on how to be rich and how to have as much wealth as I possibly could. And he said, but I sacrificed love in order to do that. He told me he'd been married, he had a son, but he'd been estranged from them for years. And he said, I gave up love to have this. And he said, none of this means anything to me. None of this is important at all. And he said, I don't care about any of the wealth I have. I don't care about any of the work that I've done. None of that is important. And he said, I realize now that love is the only thing that really matters in life. And I didn't pursue it when I had the chance. Ultimately, we helped him get in touch with his son who came to visit, so he was able to have an experience of the love that he felt he had given up on before. He was able to reclaim that for himself. But it was powerful for me to see that someone who had had a value, a materialistic value in life, which is true of so much of our society, people put their possessions and their wealth ahead of a lot of other things in life. To hear him say, at this point, I don't care about any of this. I don't want it at all. It's meaningless. And so he gave me the term, what really matters. When he said that, I learned what really matters. And also the lesson of love, that love is how we should be spending our time and energy cultivating more love.
Oh, can you tell us this gentleman's first name?
Well, I refer to him as Ted. So he's
Ted. Let's say Ted. For everyone listening, including myself, I just think that's a really perfect thing to hear, because how many of us are living on that hamster wheel? We just keep living in the future and working hard. And let's just raise a glass, whether it's a glass of tea or a glass of wine or whatever that is, to our friend Ted. And thank you, Ted. Your message lives on. Well, where to next, Karen? We have more time and I love your stories. And where do we go now?
I thought a story popped into my mind, which tells me I should probably share it, because it came into my mind a moment ago. Of a friend of mine died around 5 years ago after 7 years of dealing with breast cancer. And so I got to be part of her journey, partly involved in hospice, but mostly as just her friend and listening to her. And she read my book early on in her illness. And so she began right away to focus on these lessons. And she said, I don't know if I will live or die. I don't know what's going to happen, what the outcome will be. But she said, it's so clear to me that I just need to focus on spiritual growth. And that's the perfect thing. And no matter what the outcome is, she said, I'm moving toward the place that I need to be anyway. So she said, I'm using this illness as a way to grow. And she shared the book with her husband and her two children, and they talked about it all the time, talked about all the lessons about love and how, you know, what that meant to them and their lives together, and worked through so many issues. And this all took place over 7 years of time. Eventually, she had a recurrence of her cancer, and the doctor let her know that all of the treatments they had tried at that point, they were trying, were not working. And she was totally accepting of that, because she had allowed for that possibility from the very beginning. Like, I don't know what will happen. I don't know what will come. And so she'd stayed in this open place of really surrendering and just living life as fully as she could in every moment. So when she ended up being admitted to hospice, she was totally accepting of that's okay, because that's just what's next. The part that I had a vision of that I really wanted to share was about 2 days before she died, I came to visit her, and it was the last time I saw her, and she was absolutely glowing with light. This is something I just want to share how beautiful it is. Like someone who, like, just her soul was fully visible. She was glowing. She could only whisper at that time, and she whispered to me, I'm not sad and I'm not afraid. And then she looked at me and she said, is that okay? And I said, that's beautiful. It's beautiful. And she said, I know that I'm leaving my husband and children. And she said, but I just know that somehow they will be fine. And I know that this is what's meant to be and what's meant to happen. It was phenomenal for me to see my friend and to know that she met her death just full of light and full of love. And it was a totally beautiful and transformative experience for her family, even though they were grieving and they felt the loss of her beautiful presence. Something amazing happened during all of those last months of her life.
That's really inspiring to know that it is possible to be like that. I think most of us, it's the great unknown. Nobody wants to die. I think about it sometimes, and I'm pretty tough. But then I think, you know, there's been how many people have walked this earth before us? And they've handled it, right? they got through it, you know, and now everything that we know, there's a great quote, and I don't know where it came from, but it's our life is but a thread in the fabric of our soul. You know, there's such a much bigger picture to it all. I want to ask you too, is how do you think, well, first of all, I want to make sure we talk about End of Life University, because I was looking around the website and I thought, what if people really could embrace death and all the little particles that deal with it prior to and things that are going to happen and all that? Like, if what if we got that all settled in our mind now, how would we live life?
Well, that's exactly why I wanted to write this book. And I think for me, that's a question I ask myself. Are these lessons I'm seeing my patients experience, is that something you can only learn when you are on your deathbed? Is that something that you only really get it when you have a few days left to live? Or is it possible to learn that earlier in life? And Ted has said to me, if I had known this 20 years ago, it would have changed everything about how I live. And so that made me decide I want to change everything about how I live right now. And I don't have a terminal diagnosis, so I don't know just how much time I have, but I want to do this work right now. So I became kind of the laboratory, I guess, for my question. Can I learn these lessons? Can I practice forgiveness now? Can I focus on being in the present moment now in my life? Does that work? And so that really became the intention for all of my life, is how can I learn these lessons now, and what does it change? What I discovered for myself is that suddenly I began to view every moment of life as precious, every moment that I'm here, and I had a strong desire to not waste my time, to especially not waste my time with a lot of negative emotions. I don't want to waste my time being angry or upset about things. If I could quickly get myself back to a place of joy and love and grace, I wanted to get myself out of that anger and not spend time there if I didn't have to. So for me, that became like that manifested itself over all these years of time now that I've been working on writing the book and putting it out in the world, is seeing my own life change. And so that reinforced for me the importance of putting these lessons into the book and bringing it to the world and encouraging people, like my friend Mary Lou did, encouraging people. If you are willing to look at it and face the fact that you'll die one day, it could change everything. And it could bring so much more meaning and fulfillment into your life right now if you actually commit to it and do the work.
Really great. You know, I thought one day, and this might sound a little bit morbid, but you know how we have all these nice meditation things and healing and visual imagery and the journeys. I thought, what if we had one that we are approaching death and looking back on life, and we shut our eyes for the final time and we open them and we are crossing a finish line and our loved ones are there and our pets are there and we're our perfect age. But during it, Karen, I was thinking, when we look back, did we do what we wanted to do? Did we say what we wanted to say? Did we focus on love and forgiveness? And so I have not put that meditation together, but I just thought, you know, if we could embrace that now, I think we'd get a heck of a lot of things done. Relationships would be healed.
Oh, you're so right. I totally believe that. And as an addition to the story of my friend Mary Lou, her daughter, as we were going through this process, and she's approaching the end of life, her daughter was engaged to be married in Hawaii. And Mary Lou said, my goal is I have to make it to her wedding. I need to be able to go to Hawaii and be there for her wedding. And so we worked together on this goal for her to be at the wedding and be there to see her daughter married before she died. That was the one thing that she really wanted to accomplish. But 2 weeks before the wedding, Mary Lou got very sick. She took a turn for the worse, and it was obvious that she wasn't strong enough to handle a flight that far away, all the way to Hawaii, you know, and go through the stress of the weddings.
Karen, let's continue the story when we get back from the break. You're listening to Shades of the Afterlife on the iHeartRadio and Coast to Coast AM Paranormal Podcast Network.
Don't go anywhere. There's more Shades of the Afterlife coming right up.
Are you on the hunt for a new home this spring, but don't know where to start? Fisher Homes is your solution. Your new home should reflect you, from the front door to the kitchen and even your outdoor space. Start your journey by selecting your ideal home site, like in a cul-de-sac or that's tree-lined, and then choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans. Bring it all together at our Lifestyle Design Center. Let Fisher Homes be your new home solution this spring and start making memories at fisherhomes.com.
We went from normal life, healthy child to acute lymphoblastic leukemia, or B-cell ALL. The St. Jude team came up to get CJ via ambulance. Shortly after that, I noticed a rainbow. It meant that there was hope. We were driving into hope. To have hope is to have your child healthy, and we have that because of St. Jude.
You can help kids fight childhood cancer. Please become a St. Jude Partner in Hope today by visiting musicgives.org.
The Coast to Coast AM mobile app is here and waiting for you right now. And with the app, you can hear classic shows from the past 7 years, listen to the current live show, and get access to the Art Bell Vault, where you can listen to uninterrupted audio. Head on over to the coasttocoastam.com website. We have a handy video guide to help you get the most out of your mobile app usage. All the info is waiting for you now at coasttocoastam.com. That's coasttocoastam.com.
Are you on the hunt for a new home this spring, but don't know where to start? Fisher Homes is your solution. Your new home should reflect you, from the front door to the kitchen and even your outdoor space. Start your journey by selecting your ideal home site, like in a cul-de-sac or that's tree-lined, and then choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans. Bring it all together at our Lifestyle Design Center. Let Fisher Homes be your new home solution this spring and start making memories at fisherhomes.com.
Hey everyone, it's the Wizard of Weird, Joshua P. Warren. And now, here's more Shades of the Afterlife.
Welcome back to Shades of the Afterlife. I'm Sandra Champlain, and with me is Dr. Karen Wyatt, author of Seven Lessons for the Living from the Dying. Karen, you were just talking about your good friend Mary Lou, who had cancer, was meant to fly to her daughter's wedding, and took a turn for the worse. And you said she called her.
So she called her daughter and said, I just can't do it. And Mary Lou was crushed because it had been such a plan for her. Well, 2 days later, her daughter and future son-in-law showed up. They flew here to be with their mom. Nice. I went to visit and I said, when are you going back to get ready for the wedding? And she said, very calmly and just with this huge smile on her face, oh, I canceled the wedding. And I said, what? Like, what bride could cancel a wedding 2 weeks before the wedding takes place? And she said, well, of course I canceled the wedding. Being with my mom is what really matters. She said, a wedding, that could happen anytime, but being with my mom is what's important to me. So I'm here and I'm staying here. And we're not leaving. We're staying here to be with her and to help care for her. And I was blown away, blown away after all the bridezilla stories. Yes. I've heard of brides who would to cancel a wedding that you've been planning for a year was huge. And yet for her, it was very small compared to being here and showing love for her mom and taking care of her. And in the end, this daughter and her fiance got married on the deck of her parents' house. Her brother came to the wedding and they had a friend officiate the ceremony. They played music on a CD player. They picked wildflowers. They baked a cake together. And Mary Lou got to be at the wedding in the end.
Oh,
it was just a
so
completely
nice.
Different wedding than they had imagined. So like that again was a powerful lesson to me that, wow, not only was Mary Lou working on learning what matters in life, but she taught her children so much so that her daughter just willingly let go of all of her plans and completely reshaped her wedding. So, wow, this family, so many powerful stories that came from them and how beautiful their relationship was and how they cared for one another at the end of Mary Lou's life.
That's beautiful. Not everybody is lucky enough to have their parents still alive, but for those of us that do, love the heck out of them. They gave us so much for us to be here. And it's just a really great, great, great story. And for those whose parents are not walking along as a human, they can still hear you. They're still with you. They're still cheering you on. So that's really nice. Tell us a little bit about your website.
Well, it's the End of Life University. It accompanies my podcast. So the podcast episodes are available through there, a link. I also post blogs there. And I have had the desire of just providing as much education as possible for people. So every time I hear questions that come up or what people are looking for, I try to find a way to provide that to them, whether someone I interview for my podcast or a blog that I write. And I've created a few courses. One is on filling out advanced directives to help people with that. And another course is actually how to teach a class on death and dying, because I met lots of people who said, I've had experiences too, and I want to teach other people in my community, but I don't know how to put a class together. So I made a course to help would-be teachers learn how to create their own class. Because I really feel we need a lot more education about end-of-life issues, and by helping people who want to teach learn how to just do the nuts and bolts of teaching online or in person, I can help them. I can help get more classes out there in the world.
This is so important, and I am going to be your champion and share you as much as I can in this interview because it's so important. It's something we don't hear about too much. You know, we're concentrating on so many things, busy in life. Yes, there's people that want to learn about the afterlife. We talk about living life fully, but not much about end of life.
Yeah. And isn't it interesting? I mean, given that it's the one thing that we share,
we're all going to do
every person, that how little we really talk about it. And it makes me sad that we've lost that aspect in our society, because at least I believe that a little more than 100 years ago, people must have talked about it more, because most people died at home then, and they
yes.
received medical care at home, and funerals were held at home also. And so it feels like we've distanced ourselves from all of that so much. And it's really just a natural part of this physical life. Even though we're also having a spiritual life, we chose to come here and be in physical bodies. So this is what happens to physical bodies. It's a natural process. And it feels sad to me that most people don't get as much out of it as they could. They experience so much fear, and they tend to deny it and avoid it, when if they could simply embrace it, it could have so much meaning for them.
I agree. This everything that I do is to help people who have experienced grief and also help people live life fully. My day job had been for many, many years catering for race car teams. But one of the race car drivers who won tons of championships, he had seen that I had written this book, We Don't Die, and very secretly. He's like, what's this all about, Sandra? And I told him, and he said he had never shared this story openly, but he said when he was in his 20s, he got into a terrible car accident and ended up flatlining on an operating table, ended up going into a coma. And he said, I was greeted by my grandparents in a world that made this life seem like just a dream. So clear, so vivid. He said, I knew what had happened. I knew I was with them. I knew I was fine. And he said he was able to, he actually felt himself hovering over his body, seeing mom and dad and his brother praying by his bedside. And he felt like he had the choice, continue on with grandma and gramps or come back. And he knew to come back. But he said he never forgot that experience. It was more vivid than any memory he has. And he said, without the fear of dying, I no longer had the fear of living. So I'm not telling people to put your foot that far down on a gas pedal, but for him, he could go a little bit faster. He could take the curves a little bit more aggressively, and he won tons of championships. So whatever that represents in our life, knowing that ultimately we survive, you know, be safe, of course. But where is it that we aren't taking chances or that we haven't taken a risk or that we've been afraid? Maybe push the envelope a little.
Mm. That's so true. Fear really causes us to constrict our lives in so many ways. And we're actually here to experience all of it, to, you know, to blossom and grow and take in what life has to offer.
Yeah. Here's a little trivia. I think you probably know this, but I was just talking to my mom about this today. Back in the day, we were talking about 100 years ago, people would die at home. In fact, they would die in the parlor. And that's where they would put in the parlor. And that's where the viewing would be and family would come and things like that. And so as time went on, the word parlor just got linked to funerals and deaths. And so we have funeral parlors now, but the name was changed from parlor to living room. So that's why we have our living room is not to be associated with the parlor, which was associated with death and funerals. How about that for a little trivia? Yeah.
Isn't that just great? I love that. Mm-hmm. That it's built right into the language we use every day. And I never once thought about why do we call this a living room? Where does that come from?
There you go. Just a little bit of trivia. Everybody remember that when they're in their living room. Live fully. So we're almost out of time, Karen. What haven't we said or what would you like to leave people with?
I wanted to say that if you can open your mind to be accepting of the idea of death, if you ever have a chance to volunteer with hospice or in a hospital or a place where you could sit with patients who are nearing the end of life, it's profound. It will change everything that you know and that you think about death and dying. It's a great opportunity to learn, and it will help you with your fear. And so I encourage people to do that as much as possible. And if you just take one step forward and allow yourself to look at the fact that we're all mortal here in our physical bodies, you can get through the fear that you have, and you will find so much more peace of mind and so much true joy in just living life day to day once you get beyond that fear. So it's worth it to keep trying and to keep working toward that.
That's beautiful. Beautiful words. Yeah. Fear can be a killer in itself. It's hard to get out of our head, but once we start and we're busy on whatever it is we're fearful about, the fear disappears. It's like fear can't multitask. It can't exactly. Be there when we're busy.
The idea that as we work through the fear, we increase our capacity to live with greater love. And once we are experiencing that kind of love, then we realize fear is quite small in comparison to the vastness of love.
That's beautiful, Karen. Thank you so much for that. And for our listener, please check out Karen's websites. We've got KarenWyattMD.com and also EOLUniversity.com. That's the endoflifeuniversity.com. Last I checked, there was 403 episodes, I think. Go to YouTube, type in End of Life University. In closing, I want you to remember our website is wedontdie.com. Every month we've got new Medium courses, we've got Medium demonstrations, we've got all kinds of free goodies going on, including our free Sunday gathering where you can witness a live Medium demonstration and also get all kinds of inspiration, comfort. If you join our Sunday gathering, come 15 minutes early. Say hello to me when I start the Zoom room. I would love to hear from you. I'm Sandra Champlain. Thank you for listening to Shades of the Afterlife on the iHeartRadio and Coast to Coast AM Paranormal Podcast Network.
Thanks for listening to the iHeartRadio and Coast to Coast AM Paranormal Podcast Network. Make sure and check out all our shows on the iHeartRadio app or by going to iHeartRadio.com.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. It's a simple truth. No matter who you are, mental health challenges can affect you, and how you manage them can make all the difference. That's why everyone should have access to mental health support that meets them where they are and helps them get through. BetterHelp provides online therapy on your schedule. It's flexible, simple to use, and more affordable than in-person therapy. Connect with a licensed therapist selected just for you. Learn more at BetterHelp.com. That's BetterHelp.com.
Are you on the hunt for a new home this spring, but don't know where to start? Fisher Homes is your solution. Your new home should reflect you from the front door to the kitchen and even your outdoor space. Start your journey by selecting your ideal home site, like in a cul-de-sac or that's tree-lined, and then choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans. Bring it all together at our Lifestyle Design Center. Let Fisher Homes be your new home solution this spring and start making memories at fisherhomes.com.
We went from normal life, healthy child, to acute lymphoblastic leukemia, or B-cell ALL. The St. Jude team came up to get CJ via ambulance. Shortly after that, I noticed a rainbow. It meant that there was hope. We were driving into hope. To have hope is to have your child healthy, and we have that because of St. Jude.
You can help kids fight childhood cancer. Please become a St. Jude Partner in Hope today by visiting musicgives.org.